Well, the former First Secretary for Scottish Affairs at the US Embassy in Washington, Scotland's ambassador in the States, if you like, Susan Stewart, suggested that we needed a campaign of public diplomacy to repair what she sees as the damage to transatlantic relations. But she suggested that the damage was not irreparable.
At the height of the Iraq War, France and the French people were utterly vilified in the United States. You'll remember that French fries on Capitol Hill were renamed Freedom Fries less than 10 years ago, and yet the relationship between France and the United States is now very strong indeed, and arguably France is at least as an important a European ally to the United States as the United Kingdom is.
Is she right, Alessandro Bruno from the North Africa Journal? Will America really move on?
Well, I think the first sign is that Gaddafi was allowed to come into New York. I mean, if the fallout would be that troubling, he would not have been allowed. This is the first time he comes. And Libya has a limit on how much, used to have a limit on how much it could even move around New York when they had the representation at the building over here. Once the G20 is over, I think Gaddafi's tent and Gaddafi will be soon forgotten except by the victims of Lockerbie.
Just in terms of the fallout, there is a website called, is it boycottscotland.com, suggesting that the way to punish Scotland for this decision is to stop buying Scottish goods and services. Do you think, Angus McIndoe, that approach will take off?
I hope not, but that sounds unlikely. Of course people are angry and upset by the decision. I might be too if I was one of the victims' families. I'm not convinced that this will last for long. Like I said, there's a lot of evidence that everybody associated with this is trying to move on from it.
Dougal Munro, President of Holland and Sherry, any sign of a downturn in your business?
No, actually, Glenn, as we speak, we're obviously, it's been a difficult year in this part of the world for all businesses, but as it has around the world, but we're actually experiencing an upturn right now. And I would say that this particular event, however bizarre it may be, and also some of the speeches and so on this week here in New York have been, it hasn't really had no impact on our business whatsoever.
Well, I've heard similar evidence from the Scotch whisky industry that there's no obvious sign of a backlash, Alan Bain. You, in another capacity, are involved in the Harris Tweed industry, and we heard recently of one of your rival companies rebranding in the United States, dropping Scotland and concentrating on the Hebrides brand. I think later denied by the company, but would that be a sensible approach?
No, I feel a very sad approach were it the case, but they did quickly amend that statement, and I'm very happy that they did. Clearly we are an iconic Scottish product, it's well recognised, and in fact our mill has been engaged in the United States really heavily for the first time this year. Both Nike and Adidas have approached us, and we're doing work with them.
Tweedy trainers.
Yes, indeed, again.
I wonder, Corky Samasco, have you stopped buying Scottish?
No. And I have to say that the people that are angriest about this are basically the people who lost people. I think most Americans feel good about Scottish people. A lot of Americans are descended from Scottish immigrants, so I mean, I think part of the dismay was that it was the Scots. You know, I mean, if the Belarusians had done something like this, nobody would have been surprised. But it's the Scots. It's the people they like. They know. They recognize.
So does that mean, Alan Bain, that when Tartan Week is put together for spring of next year, the parade won't be any smaller than it was last year?
I would think not. We may have a sprinkling of people on the periphery, you know, waving a banner or two, but No, I think people are, you know, very, very committed, as was just rightly said, that this is a country basically made by Scots.
Okay, well, the United Nations welcomed for the very first time, I use the word welcomed in inverted commas, welcomed the leader of Libya, Colonel Gaddafi, this week. He made a very, very long and rambling address, and here's a flavour of it.
Now the Security Council is security feudalism, political feudalism for those who have a permanent seat, protected by them, and they are used against us. It should not be called the Security Council, it should be called the Terror Council.
Well, was that a wise remark to make in his maiden speech at the United Nations? Alessandro Bruno from the North Africa Journal.
I'm not surprised at all that he made this remark. I actually worked at the UN in Tripoli, Libya, during the period of the sanctions. I looked, among other things, I checked all the flights that were allowed in and out with the Security Council. So I've heard the term before. The Council of Terror and a number of other epithets. I've also heard Gaddafi rant about dog food in shops and all kinds of other... He likes... This is his style. Sometimes you have to pick what he really means from, you know, from the weed that most abounds in his speeches.
Pretty insensitive, though, given that, you know, he was facing protests from people who think his terrorism killed their loved ones.
But he knows who he's speaking to. He knows his audience. His audience are the poor countries, particularly he's the president of the African Union this year. So he's addressing all the African countries, and the fact African aid, there are complaints that aid to Africa has diminished. So he's wanting to present himself as the champion of the poor again. There are few left. You have to imagine, this is a country of 4 million people, and he's easily among the 10 most recognizable political leaders in the world.
Well, he certainly made the front pages. I think your paper, Corky, had Mad Men on the front page after the address by Colonel Gaddafi and by President Ahmadinejad of Iran. What do you think the other world leaders make of Colonel Gaddafi, Professor Weiss? Do you think they just laugh off his remarks?
Well, you have to remember, we're sitting not far from Broadway, but the world's Broadway once a year happens to be on First Avenue at the United Nations. So theater is not in short supply. The last time that we had such a lengthy, there are lots of rambling speeches, but the last speech of this length was Fidel Castro in 1960. But we've had other such dramatic events, Arafat checking his pistol at the door, Khrushchev taking his shoe off, banging it on the table. The important thing about this theater, previous speaker just mentioned, is for being consumed elsewhere. He's speaking to an audience in North Africa and the Middle East and perhaps elsewhere in Africa, not here. So other people walk out of the room, fall asleep, laugh, but he's looking for the headlines, I presume, in Tripoli and in Cairo. And he also gets some headlines in New York, not the ones he'd like, or perhaps the ones he'd like.